During the past 5,600 years, it is estimated that there have been 15,000 wars in this world. 15,000 wars. That's not quite three wars a year for 5,600 years. Humans don't seem to do very well at living with each other in peace. One of those man on the street surveys was done. It was done in a mall near Christmas. And the question that was asked was this: where would you like to see peace this Christmas? Well, here's a few of the top answers. Peace with my parents, my ex, and my kids. End of political bickering. Well, good luck with that one. Peace in my mind and my heart. Peaceful neighborhood. End of rudeness. Peace in my marriage. I want my mom and dad to get back together. And then I'd like to see peace everywhere. Well, this week I was watching the news and they told of the latest Gallup poll that just recently was done. And in that Gallup poll, it said 8 out of 10 Americans, 8 out of 10 are afflicted by stress. No wonder we have a hard time finding peace. Let's face it, humans are much better at disagreeing and fighting with each other than being peacemakers. Yes, that includes even in the church itself. Well, we've been in this sermon series entitled The Purpose of Christmas. And we've seen so far a time of celebration and a time of salvation. And this morning I want us to take a few moments and think about a time of reconciliation. A time of reconciliation. In Romans, the 5th chapter, verse 11, we find this where Paul writes, he says, "More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." Reconciliation is another way of saying peace. God, according to this verse, God took the initiative to restore peace between ourselves and Him. True reconciliation or peace can only come about through Jesus Christ. Well, we've looked in this series through the eyes of the shepherds on that night when the angels made their announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ. Luke 2, 13 and 14 says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is well pleased.'" Jesus came to bring peace. He was born to bring peace. His birth signaled this great reconciliation for us to rejoice in. Well, Jesus came to bring this. Why can't we bring true peace on our own? Well, let me give you a couple thoughts about that, or why we can't bring true peace ourselves. One is just our natural self-centeredness. You know, no one has to teach us to be self-centered. We are just born that way. I mentioned 2 weeks ago, there's not a single parent that has to teach their child to say, "my toy." It comes natural to them. Self-centeredness, though, is a detriment to peace, to reconciliation. As long as life is about getting my way, doing things my way, we'll never find true peace. But we'll also never find true peace as long as we also are expecting others to meet needs in our lives that only God can meet. What do? We try to have our spouses or our parents or even children or friends or co-workers or even pastors or other people. We expect them to meet certain needs in our lives when their needs only God can meet in our lives. And so we're constantly feeling this failure. We're feeling this stress because a human can't provide and meet the need that we're looking for. Only God is perfect enough to meet that need. We proclaim in this world that we want peace or that we want reconciliation on earth. Well, there won't be peace in this world until there's peace within the nations. There won't be peace within the nations until there's peace within communities. There won't be peace within communities until there's peace within families. And there won't be peace within families until there's peace within individuals. And there won't be peace until individuals until the Prince of Peace reigns within the individual heart. Jesus came to bring peace. Jesus came at Christmas to bring about peace. Well, I want to share with you briefly this morning three kinds of peace that's brought about by Jesus. Three kinds of peace. And the first one is peace with God. Peace with God. From the very first sin that occurs within our lives, we choose the route to rebel against God. Even though we need to be reconciled with people, yes, we need peace between people, the greatest and deepest need is to be reconciled with our Creator. People are constantly looking for things in life to fulfill, to fill this hole of satisfaction that we have within our lives. We try so many things because we know something is missing. We maybe don't admit it outwardly, but we know something is missing, and we're constantly never satisfied. We buy the latest gadget, the newest car, whatever that we see. It's supposed to fulfill us. It's supposed to make our dreams. It's supposed to satisfy us. I mean, even now, you can get double satisfaction on some of these from some of these commercials and what they say on TV. I mean, they say, but wait, you can receive two of these items for the price of one. So you should have received double satisfaction in that case, right? But then what happens is it comes in the mail, you bring it home, whatever. And it doesn't take long before you find out it didn't really satisfy. We try to fill that need in so many ways and with so many people when the only way that reconciliation can be found is through God. Isaiah 53:6 tells us this. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. What's the saying? We're all like wandering sheep. We're looking for the next green pasture to feed in. You know, the saying is, it's always greener on the other side of the fence. Well, we're looking over the other side of the fence, and we think, wow, it really looks nice over there. Looks good over there. And then we cross the fence, and we get to the other side, and we go, you know, it really wasn't that bad on the other side. We're blinded to our true fulfillment, the true source of peace that we need for our lives, the true reconciliation. And we're blinded by our sin. It always leads us astray like sheep. It always leads us to looking for more and more and more. Well, how do we find peace with God? Well, first you have to acknowledge your sin. Acknowledge that your sin has separated you from God. And then you believe that Jesus, who came on Christmas, is the Son of God, that he died then on the cross on Good Friday to pay for your sin, to pay for the punishment of your sin, and that he rose again on Resurrection Sunday to prove he is God. You commit your life to following Jesus as your Lord and Savior, because he's the only natural fit for that hole within you that is constantly needing to be satisfied. He is the satisfaction. But for others this morning, it's maybe a little slightly different path. You've maybe made that commitment to Jesus once, and somewhere along the way, some journey along the way, you found yourself beginning to struggle again with peace. It's as if you have lost your first love or left your first love, Jesus Christ, and you seem to be in this fight with God instead of having true peace. In the 1980s, there was a Broadway musical entitled, "Your Arms Are Too Short to Box with God." Your arms are too short to box with God. Well, you might be out there constantly swinging away at God. I don't mean physically, of course, but in your life, and you're swinging away at God, but your arms are too short, your attempts are too short. But there's a path there to get back on also, to find peace. Admit that God is God and you're not. Because that's what's really happened is, along the way, you know, originally you say, God, I want you on the throne of my heart. And then somewhere along the way, it's like you dethroned God from your heart. But only He can sit there. You need to give up the rebellious attitude that you can pick and choose which of His commandments you want to follow. You know, the Scripture says that we are to speak truth in love, and there's too many Christians, I'm afraid, that like to speak truth, but they have no idea about speaking it in love. You need to give yourself totally to Him. What a great Christmas present it would be, peace with God. But see, peace with God then brings into your life something else. It brings the peace of God. The peace of God. See, it's one thing to have peace with God. It's another to have His peace living and dwelling within you. And you'll experience the peace of your God in your heart and mind when God's presence is within you, when the power of the Holy Spirit is dwelling and living within you. Then you'll find the peace of God. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You keep Him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Why do we not feel the peace of God in our lives? Well, once again, either we're depending upon ourselves or we're depending upon others for that peace instead of depending upon God's Holy Spirit living and dwelling within us to provide that peace. Reinhold Niebuhr wrote a prayer that's entitled the Serenity Prayer. Many of you maybe have heard it. Often you will see on pictures or posters or something like that, maybe the first couple of lines to the prayer. But you really can't just look at the first couple of lines. You've got to look at the whole prayer. The first part goes like this: God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And that's all well and good. That sounds great. But that's not all of it. Because see, then it says this: living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking, as He did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that He will make all things right if I surrender to His will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with Him forever in the next. Amen. So what's this rest of this prayer about? First part says, take one day at a time. In other words, enjoy the moment. Enjoy the moment. Take advantage of the day that you're in. Stop worrying about tomorrow. Stop stressing about tomorrow. Enjoy the day you're in. And then it says, realize hardship can bring about peace. Wow, now that's a hard thing to swallow, isn't it? To realize that the hardships that we have within our lives can actually bring about peace within our lives. Accept and love this sinful world just as Jesus accepted and loved us as sinners. Trust that Jesus will make it all straight in time. and be happy now, knowing that there's a greater happiness to come in the next life. In other words, let the peace of God flow through you in this life. But having peace with God and experiencing the peace of God in our lives is still not the complete picture. We have one more step to find the reconciliation or peace that God intended for you and for me. See, we're also to experience peace with others. Peace with others. Our relationship with others should change when God's peace dwells within us. Matthew 5, 9, Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers." Blessed are the peacemakers. Now let's understand a couple things. It does not say, "Blessed are the peace lovers." That's not what it says. It says those who make peace, not those who love peace. It doesn't say also, "Blessed are the peaceable." Those who just walk around and ignore the world and say, "I'm at peace." No, it says those who make peace. We are charged to make peace. The Apostle Paul wrote about this way in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 18. He says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." Those in Christ have been given a ministry of reconciliation. Paul is calling this peacemaking deal that Jesus called "blessed are the peacemakers." He's saying it is a ministry of reconciliation. We are charged to restore broken relationships. And since we have been restored to God by Jesus Christ, we are then to turn around and reconcile with each other. Well, let me start by talking about what it is not being a peacemaker or a reconciler. What is it not about? Because I think it's a lot of confusion on that part, and it's important for us to understand. First, not being a peacemaker means not being a peacemaker or reconciler is avoiding conflict. Avoiding conflict. Now see, that's our first thought. We may think that's the definition of being a peacemaker. Is if I avoid conflict, I'm a peacemaker, right? If we can all just avoid conflict, we'll all be peaceful in this life. Well, here's why that's false. One, no, you won't. Because see, there's a couple different type of peace playing out here. There's an outward versus inward peace. Oh, we can go around and pretend outwardly like everything is peaceful, everything is wonderful, and then inside, this frustration gets bottled up inside that's not so peaceful. Frustration builds up behind because we're avoiding this conflict, and avoidance can be very damaging actually to lives, because we're pushing down, we're shoving down that's really we're feeling within our hearts and lives. So avoiding conflict does not equal peace. In like manner, running from a problem or pretending it does not exist, that doesn't bring peace. This is similar to the last one, and it also can be very damaging when we run and hide and pretend like everyone is happy. We fool ourselves. And once again, what we do is we drive this frustration down deeper into people's lives. Oh, we love playing this game in church. We really do. Reality check. There's never a time, I'm not talking about just Calvary, I'm talking about churches, period. There's never a time that everything is truly peaceful in a church. Never. It may be peaceful in your corner of the church, but there's another whole corner That's not feeling so peaceful. I've heard this line often in churches. They say, I remember a time when everything was so peaceful in our church. No, you have a bad memory because you were in the corner where things were peaceful. You weren't in the corner where it wasn't so peaceful. Running from the problem, pretending like it doesn't exist, is not being a peacemaker. Likewise, the third one is appeasement. Always giving in. Always being a doormat to someone. Letting someone roughshod all over you, but never saying a word. That's not peacemaking either. It does nothing but provide hidden frustrations. Not a single one of these activities brings about peace, brings about reconciliation. Instead, what happens is they only drive the hurt feelings down deeper into people's lives. When we use these three, though, to bring about peace, when we think that's how you bring about peace, what happens is it builds up and builds up until one day an explosion occurs that's much greater because finally people realize they can't take it. In other words, how we normally think we bring about peace actually brings about the opposite. It just delays the matter and creates a larger explosion. Well, what does it mean to be a peacemaker? Or a reconciler? Well, the first one is actively seeking an end to conflicts. You see, you should not avoid the conflict when they occur, but you should work at bringing them to an end. Here's an important issue we need to understand. There's a difference between reconciliation and resolution. You can reconcile with someone and still not resolve the issue. Too many people believe reconciliation and resolution are the same thing, but they're not. Reconciliation ends the hostility between people, but it doesn't mean all the problems are solved. The problem-solving section is resolution, but in reconciliation, you bury the hatchet. Because reconciliation is about rebuilding relationships with each other. Resolution focuses on the problem. And you'll never come to resolution fully until you reach reconciliation, the healing of a relationship. And to go out and fix the problem without fixing the relationship is futile. Because even though, yes, you may have solved a problem, that relationship is still damaged, is still broken. And somewhere along the way, it will flare up again. But it's amazing when relationships are healed, we can deal with each other's problems much better. Reconciliation also offers forgiveness when you've been hurt. Reconciliation does not occur until forgiveness occurs. There's a difference between forgiveness and trust. I think that's our confusion sometimes, but there's a difference between forgiveness and trust. See, forgiveness, we are charged as Christians to offer it instantaneous, to freely offer forgiveness, just as God freely offered to forgive us. Forgiveness takes care of the past. Trust deals with the future. Trust must be earned over time. Trust can be lost in a second, but a long time to rebuild. You know, if a husband has an affair, he loses the trust of his wife instantaneously. Now, I know it's difficult, but her forgiveness should be done quickly, but trust may take a long time to rebuild. Forgive. Why do we forgive quickly? Well, it's so that we don't let bitterness envelop our lives. That vine of bitterness that will entwine our hearts. And what happens is when we don't forgive, it hurts us personally. When we don't offer forgiveness because bitterness builds up. So we are to forgive quickly, but build trust a brick at a time. Last, reconciliation is also passing along the grace God gave you. It is why forgiveness has to occur for reconciliation to occur. God's great grace offers that forgiveness for our sins so we can be reconciled with Him. And so we must offer that forgiveness as an act of grace, even when someone does not deserve it, even when someone doesn't say, "I'm sorry." Because, see, that grace that we are to offer, grace means a gift. And if they have to earn it to get your grace, then it's not a gift. And we are to be like God, to offer this gift of grace, which involves forgiveness, even when the person doesn't deserve it, even when the person doesn't say, "I'm sorry." So then, that we can even experience deeper God's grace within us. Well, today's a perfect day for a time of reconciliation. This Christmas, you may be at one of these three stages. You need peace or reconciliation with God. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never really received the forgiveness of God for your sin. Or maybe you've wandered away from Him and need that renewal within your life. Or maybe you need to feel God's peace or reconciliation within your heart. You're doing all sorts of things, all sorts of sins that's keeping the Holy Spirit from guiding and leading you. And you need to get back to that, the Holy Spirit leading you. Or maybe you need to make peace or reconcile with someone else this Christmas. You know, we will come now to this time of celebration through the Lord's Supper. And it is a picture of reconciliation, of peace, because it is the picture of God providing the peace that we need with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. And as we come to celebrate this time, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, then you are invited to partake of the bread and the cup as it'll be passed around in just a few moments. And I want us to spend a moment, though, before we do, a moment in prayer, because maybe there's some things you need to get straight with God right now. Or maybe somebody you need to pray about that, "Lord, do I need to talk with this person and reconcile?" And so I want us to take a moment and we can have a quiet moment of prayer at first, and you can just take your prayers to God, and then I'll lead us in prayer, and then our deacons will be here and we'll share the Lord's Supper with you. But let's go to Him now. Thank you, Father, that you sent the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, to come and live a life on this earth so He could understand exactly what it means to be tempted of sin, but yet He did not fall into sin. But yet, Lord, He went to the cross to bear our sin, to take the punishment for our sin, so that you can, in turn, offer this wonderful gift of grace, forgiveness of our sins. We can have a relationship with you so that we can be reconciled once again. Lord, I pray that someone here who is struggling right now because of sins between themselves and you, that Lord, they would now be open to your great grace and the forgiveness that you offer. For others, that maybe there's just someone individual they're struggling with and they need to seek peace. And Lord, you would begin an avenue of opening that door. Lord, as we celebrate this Lord's Supper, may your will be done and may you be glorified through it. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.